Good evening, Mendocino County and points beyond. You are tuning into this month's Women in Ecology Hour. I am your host, Sue Magoo Coulter, and I am here on Northern Pomo land in its current use as our satellite studio at the Senior Center in Fort Bragg, California. On tonight's show, how did a writer, artist, healer, teacher, musician, muralist, and performance artist come to find her voice in poetry? How did she come to write 3 books and 6 books of poetry during 2 decades of freelance writing? How did she get chosen to be Point Arena's Poet Laureate? How has she managed to weave her own healing process, writing, and performance into sharing her creativity skills with youth? Lastly, how has her work as an artist and poet informed the 2+ decades of visiting classrooms across Mendocino County? Please join me in welcoming this month's Women in Ecology Hour guest, Blake Moore. Welcome, Blake. So honored to have you here. So perhaps you could start off by telling our listeners about what you're currently involved in. I shared a little bit in the intro, but it'd be great to illustrate for our listeners what your life looks like.
The chair or the microphone, so to speak. I'm so used to being the one asking the questions, not answering them.
Yeah, no
so
doubt. Right away, I was
thinking, oh my gosh, I'm talking about me this time. As you were doing the intro, I really felt that. Well, you know, we're just wrapping up the school year. So I have been teaching poetry around the county all 2024-25 school year and just finishing everything up, just about to do a last school-wide reading at the community library with the Manchester students and practicing having them speak their poems out loud, which is so much fun to, you know, have that microphone and the little PA system and just getting used to verbalizing your emotions, because really that's what poetry is. I always tell people that as a poet, I'm about emotional intelligence. I'm about figuring out what we're feeling in our body and coming up with a healthy way to express it. So I always like to say that I'm, you know, in terms of ecology, you know, I'm all about creating a healthy body ecology through the processing of our emotions. And then we show up as better stewards of the land and of, you know, the worlds we live in our relationships. When we know what we're feeling and can communicate them in a healthy way, we create that bridge to the health of others.
Beautifully expressed. Love it.
Thank you.
And thanks for yet another year in the school.
Oh my God. It's been so fun. I think that some of you know that, I've been dealing with physical challenges and I'm now coming to the other side of them, but it's been about over almost 2 years. And this last year, I think teaching for me was so much richer because I wasn't multitasking. I wasn't doing a mural, or I wasn't off dealing with my garden or all my other creative projects. So I really just kind of focused on the schools and maybe also because of the dealing with personal pain and like the restructuring of the identity of who I am, all the different ways that I've been forced, because I certainly didn't pick it, but I now am embracing it, but forced to change. And I think it's made me show up as a better teacher because I've gone through a kind of a hardship or a difficulty that's allowed me to be more present and be more authentic with the students. And it's just been the feedback, the whole loop system has been so profound that I, you know, it's sometimes you get that recognition from the universe, like, oh, I am on my path. This is my path. I'm on my path. I'm doing at least one of the things I set out to do in this world. And so it's fun that summer's coming because it has been really busy, but I love it. I feel so honored to do the work that I get to do.
It's really wonderful that you do it, because I think our youth need the outlet of what you have to offer even more so. And then what you just spoke to, the fact that you experienced a challenge and found your way through it, they're dealing with that every day on some level. Yeah. And way beyond what they should be, in my opinion, at their age. Yeah. Some of what's exactly being on their shoulders is much larger than young children should be carrying. So
and I will say at the same time, working with them it really does in its own way give me more optimism about the world. And that's one of the reasons, you know, on my show, I like to, in June, the show I just did, I highlight the voices of our, of the students that I work with. So it was all student voices doing their poetry, the recorded poetry that they recorded with me. And I like to remind everybody that there really are some magical young creators coming up. And we have to remember that, you know, that seven generations is happening right now. We are, you know, the ones we've been waiting for. It's time for us to really step up and start doing this work. And I think that there's just a lot of open hearts out there. And that reminds me, they keep me inspired. It's definitely a loop.
That's good. I appreciate that reminder as well, because it's like anything, we could overdose on the heaviness and then, you know, the news, this, that, and the other. But it's true. With that, they are equipped with different tools than I think I had. So it seems like from my old lady perspective, I might be projecting at times and thinking that, oh, you know, they have so much they're bearing. But in truth, every generation has something that they grow up with and that they, that shapes
and
them.
And their resiliency, right?
Yes.
The youth, the resiliency of the youth is so profound. And I know, and I'm sure you remember, like there's, when I look back at what was happening during my growing up time, I had no idea. I was so wrapped up on, you know, whatever new song came out or what I was going to, what the style was or what so-and-so thought of me or whatever, that the world outside of us doesn't have the same like gravitas. And now we're like, oh my God, you know, if you like, you know, tap into some media source, it can get really scary really quick right now.
Ooh,
unfortunately,
yes.
I don't think the kids are tapping into the same degree, which I think is just for self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I'm curious, when did poetry come into your world? As if you can possibly pinpoint, but maybe you can.
You know, what's kind of interesting is my mom used to write me these really interesting rhyming poems, and she would leave them for me as like scavenger hunts. I'd find a stanza and there'd be something there. And she would often do them for birthdays or graduation. And I think that I didn't really start writing seriously until I was in my late teens. And I had a boyfriend. I had a boyfriend who was a painter. And he said to me, God, you're always communicating. Just get a journal. And I went, oh, that's a good idea. So I got a journal and suddenly I was writing poetry and I told the world I'm a poet. And that's really how it started. I mean, it's such a strange way. And then right away, I feel like I'm a funnel. People like to use the word channeling, but that's so new age. I feel like if I, you know, that hollow bone, if I hollow myself out and get out of my own way, the wisdom that can come through my pen shakes me to my core, and I cannot believe that that's happening. And I think that poetry offered me a place to find that quiet voice inside, and it made me a better listener, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm glad you spoke to that. Incredible.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched on it as far as what it is about poetry that calls to you. I'm curious because it says in your bio, you said that you probably still are, but freelance writing poetry, do you love it all? Do you love lean into one more than the other? Does it just depend upon the day?
Freelance writing, I wrote for magazines for about 10 years. And I got to a point, and I wrote for, you know, Yoga Journal, and Utney would pick up my articles. And I had a lot of holistic health, future medicine publishing, and Consciousness Today. And some of these magazines aren't still in publication, but it was kind of during that kind of holistic health revolution that we kind of have gone through. And so I, at one point, I just realized I was writing all the time. You know, these articles are between 3,000 and 6,000 words. And if I had 5 or 6 articles in a month, I was just sitting at my desk and I was writing and I loved it. And people, it kind of made me kind of a big deal in my, you know, Marin community. I'd show up and I was a writer and, oh, it's so cool. You write for this. But at one point I just kind of thought, oh my God, I finished a book on photon energy and food. And, you know, cause all my writing has always been about, kind of spirituality, environment, health, how to heal. You know, it's cultural healing. It's like usually there's some aspect of culture tied in, but I put all my stuff in storage and went to Cuba. And I literally was like, huh, these Cubans are so much happier than I am, and they're not working all the time. And sure, they feel locked and stuck in their country, but their lifestyle inspired me so much because it was closer to the ground. It felt like they were human. They weren't, you know, brains that got, you know, plugged into machines and then created content. It was yeah. like they were, you know, outside in the sun and making music and feeling life. And so I came back and I quit all my jobs, and it was kind of, it worked out perfect. Yoga Journal had just gotten bought by a Madison Avenue company. So it went from kind of the cool yoga ladies in Berkeley to hot women on the cover with all the trendy styles. And so I kind of got out because, you know, I came from kind of a very body conscious, narcissistic LA culture, and yoga was kind of my gateway to get away from that. And then suddenly yoga was going back into that. And I'm a show off. Like, I know I'm a show off. I'm naturally like that. So trying to get out of things that are gonna heighten that versus ground it. So I'm always trying to ground my show off, and teaching's a perfect place to do that. Cause you know, it's like, yeah, you're famous in the classroom.
Yeah, definitely. And you're famous out in the community, I bet.
Perfect kind of fame, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just started really focusing on poetry and my art. And then that's when teaching came in. And teaching was such an accidental process. I never thought I would teach. Somebody wrote a grant and invited me into their classroom, and the rest is history. I mean, I call that first year of kids my gateway drugs because they were so fun that I was instantly.
I understand. You're talking to the choir.
I know, right? Like, you don't expect it, but it happens.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
But I do right now. I've been doing a little bit of pickup freelance writing. I've written for a couple of like online things, and I feel like writing's coming back into my life. I think I needed a break, and I have more to say now than I did then. Then my writing was really focused on writing about other people and what they said versus, and I've lived more life. So now what comes from within informs my writing in a way that it didn't before.
Wonderful. On that note, do you want to share one of your poems?
I'll read.
Seems like a good tie-in, unless that's, you know, you want to take a moment.
Yeah, I would love that. And we have a, I'll read this poem. This is a local poem. And I wrote this, it's actually a video that I could send you. That's really fun. And, kind of, I did it during COVID and got a bunch of my friends to read lines of this poem.
Beautiful.
And then put it out as a video. It's just kind of a way to like help us all navigate this time. And it's called Tolerance is Bliss. We abide this ledge of cosmos, the micro macro or macro micro of ocean roar and redwood. We are a tall order under remote lens, confronted every day by the sheer beauty of ourselves, fox cries echoing through the wind, a mountain lion darting along the perimeter, hummingbirds showering beneath garden sprayer. We are the whales, hawks, bears, and deer, the gathering squirrels and naked ladies of day, the owls and howls of night. We shoot like stars and rest like ravens. We pulse land and water through our bodies. Individually and collectively, we resonate as we deliver groceries, fix the leak, raise the barn, speed from the hospital. Alone and together, we mirror the whole, weeks of solitude reflected in ocean wave and cumulative understanding. We are this earth, and this earth is holding us up, even when we gnash our teeth and forget to breathe. The screen inside our minds is not a goal. Inhaling is a goal. Exhaling, its reward. One moment unfolding the way it does, seamless stitches into a spell of choices. Some call it about time. I call it a circle. No end, no beginning. Just one continuous flow, offerings from turquoise sea stretched out below, inviting, diving, cavernous and calm, churning tumult a world away. This inner tending is our green peace, self-care activism, revealing vast constellations and wild animals inside. We are waking up, walking along the deep steep, juking and dodging the questions as they insist like rain into a thirsty mouth. Soon we will realize we are the answers as we find new ways to watch, learn, listen, share, touch our double helix and reclaim it with our lives.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow. No, thank you. Seriously, I wanted to pause and not just
I know that. That's how I often read poets. How much time do you let dead air have?
No doubt that is the challenge for sure. If you have just tuned in, you are listening to KZYX and you have tapped into the Women in Ecology Hour with your host, me, Sue Magoo Coulter, and I'm having a wonderful discussion with Blake Moore, poet laureate of Point Arena, who's joined me to discuss about her connection with poetry and working with youth. And one of the inspirations to interviewing Blake, who's already a programmer on KZYX, and we'll give you a chance at the end to put your plug in about all your ways that people can tap into you. I am currently working at Jug Handle Creek Farm and Nature Center and wanting to create different public events to get people to come to Jug Handle and experience the beauty there. And so part of the inspiration is that Blake will be doing a poetry workshop, on a nature poetry workshop on Sunday, June 22nd, coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And within when this gets aired, it'll be the Sunday right afterwards. And it's from 1 to 3. And people can go to the website to find out more information, jughandlecreekfarm.org, or email jughandlefarm@gmail.com. So I just wanted to put that little plug in early, and we'll do it again in a little bit. But this is so exciting. Yay.
Fun because it's for all ages, you know.
Yes,
exactly. It's kind of fun to me. I don't get to do as much work with the older community, but you know what I mean? Yes. Grown-ups. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy working with grown-ups. I was working with the Wallala Community Center through the Senior Center, and I was working with seniors for a little while, and we did recycled journals. I was doing these kind of art journals with a group of seniors, and it was so much fun. It was really fun. But those kinds of projects can sometimes be very labor intensive because, you know, I'm carrying all of the stuff to the place, and then spread it all out, and you know, 2 hours or an hour and a half goes by, and then you have to put it all back, and then you come back the next week, and
you're talking to the choir.
You know, probably
I totally do. I did that in Santa Cruz with homeschooling families. I would like put it all in my back of my truck, lay it all out, offer, pick it all up, put it back in my truck, unload it at home, load it back up, come back next week.
Exactly. And I can't remember, you know, and I guess when you're younger, you have that extra energy because your life, I mean, I don't want to say young people have more time than I do, but I remember I did a poetry lesson at Arena Elementary and it was Earth Day and I paper macheed a giant earth that I brought into every grade and they all put something on the earth and you know, I'm thinking to myself, God, that's a lot of prep. Nobody paid me for any of that prep.
Of course not.
And that's that part of, you know, it was just so much fun for me to make the art. And I think that that's also what makes the young people get inspired into teaching and that eventually you don't need all the props. You just can show up and still have the same impact.
Yes. Good description indeed. And so I'm curious what it's like running the Mendocino County Youth Poet Laureate Program. What is that? And what does that entail?
Oh my God, it is so cool. And this is our second year, our second 2 years, like a kind of like a 2-year position. And Frey Vardy is our outgoing, and he's a senior at Mendocino High School. And the poet laureate, the first one, was Sydney Regalbregge, and she was a Point Arena High School student. And wow, they both made books. So they both have their first full collection of their poetry. Frey's just came out. I think he's going to be on Upwelling. He's going to be on Casey Wex.
Oh, fantastic.
Coming up, reading from his book. And you know, it's just such an honor. And they both, Sydney's story is really cool. She went to Harvard, and her dad told me the story where she was, it was a visiting professor in one of her kind of big seminar classes. And it was this Oxford writer who came and did a kind of a reading and talking about her work. And then there's about 300 students, and she asked for a volunteer to read. And Sydney was the only student who volunteered. And her dad said, because, you know, the cool thing about our county is poetry is so much kind of interwoven all over. There's been such a history of poetry in Mendocino County. So the youth laureate gets plugged right in. I mean, they always bring the age demographic down because they're definitely among the younger. We still need, hey, you 30s, you 20s and 30s out there, like, come start showing up to events. We need you. We need you. You know, I used to be the young one, and now I'm becoming like the young old one, you know, like, come on, you guys. She said that, you know, all the chances she had to perform and do what she does made her get up there and do her poem. And then she now has the teacher, the professor from Cambridge or Oxford, I think it was Oxford, came and said to her, hey, here's my information. I'm doing this show. Come out to my show. She did. And now she emails with her.
Oh, fantastic.
That is from this little county here, mm-hmm, because of this little program. And Frey's going to Stanford. And he also has just so much good things to say about it. And next year, I've already got maybe 4 or 5 students that have expressed interest. So if any of the students are interested in, if any parents know or anybody's listening, if you're interested in getting involved in the Youth Poet Laureate program, I'm going to be sending out, probably the flyers will go out in September, maybe August, September. And usually we pick the laureate by November, you know, so that gives a little bit of time. Sometimes we've prolonged it to December, depending on how many applicants we get, because we'd like to make sure that it really goes around. But if anyone's interested, I guess I can give my email, blake@bemoreu.net, B, the letter B, MOREYOU.net. So if any youth are interested, you can't be a senior. Well, I guess you could be a senior, but it'd be better if you're 11th grade up.
Fantastic. There you go.
Yeah.
And then for some of the listeners that might not understand what a poet laureate is, can you unpack that a little bit more for some people that might not know?
You know, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, I always say poets are the bottom feeders of the art world. Like, you know, like every other art form, you know, oh, can I share my art? And they say, oh, yeah. Can I share my poem? And people go, maybe. Do I have time? Do I have to listen? You know, because poet, and maybe less so here, because this county is so receptive, but you know, poetry is not always, you know, it's not as accessible. People don't like it. It's boring. You know, all the things we say about poetry. And so the laureate is kind of a way of offering a kind of a designation, a laurel, so to speak, of recognition that you are the one who stands out in your age group or in your community or in your county or your state or your nation as the poet who is the it poet for this period of time.
Very
you
cool.
Know, Point Arena is not great because, you know, Fiona Perkins was the poet laureate of Point Arena, and she had lifetime poet laureateness. And when she died, she actually gave me she had this pink, you know, like the princess banner that said Point Arena Poet Laureate that she would wear she came to do her poem. Yeah, her sash. She would wear when she did her poem at the parade or whatever. Oh. And she gave it to me. And the city didn't designate me as Point Arena Laureate for a long time. But there was someone who kept saying, hey, Fiona wanted Blake to be the next one, you know. So it is so funny.
That's
so
great.
You know.
I love it.
I always Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But it's a small town. Let me just say, that's what I'm really trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. That's beautiful. But thank you for just kind of giving people a better idea of what that you know, is for people that have no connection to poetry and don't understand what any of that's about.
So for the youth, it's basically high school students around the county apply.
Okay.
It's an application process. Okay. And then we have our selection committee that's also our countywide selection committee. And we review and determine who the poet laureate is.
Beautiful. And then I'm wondering, what are some of the pearls about sharing your love of poetry with our local youth? Like, you've spoken to it a little bit, but like any, you know, aspect to it, either that's changed over the years or that you've...
Well, you know, one thing that I love is doing these books and how, you know, I've been doing a book through MCOE for the county. I think the first countywide anthology I put together was in 2002.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't have as much access the way I do now, but they've really kind of been solid published since 2006, I think, or 2005. You know, the other ones were more, you know, we used to have a press in downtown Point Arena and they would do them for me, but they, and I have students that still like, oh my God, I just found my book. I can't believe my poem. And I think there's something about having your poem in a book. And then when you grow up and you find that book again and you read your poem and it's like, your current self meeting your past self and recognizing, wow, I was wiser than I thought I was, or I still think that way. Or it just kind of creates this, like you said, it's like we're a necklace, you know, and we're constantly stringing together beads of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And poetry is like just one bead on the necklace. And I do think that living in a small community, it's great because, you know, I might run into someone who's 40 and I haven't seen them since they were 18, and they say, I'm still writing poetry. I keep a journal, you know, I don't share it out, but I do it. And then others, you know, have taken it and gone and become, you know, definitely more recognized than I am, you know, and I love that because I want to instill the love of expression one way or another, you know, especially healthy expression, finding ways to get your emotions out so they're not stuck in our bodies and make us sick. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always the goal. So yeah. The kids are, they're like my lifeline to the center of the earth in that deep way. I just feel so grateful and blessed. And, you know, now I have literally kids of students who are now having kids. So pretty soon it's going to be three generations wow. of poetry. And I just found someone, there's two people in their 30s that I'm now recruiting for the program because I want to start, you know, somebody brought me in when I was at 30 and said, come here, you know, you should be doing this. And I want to offer that back because I think that there is something about people that are closer in your age that can inspire you in a different way.
Mm-hmm. But it's great because you're not only encouraging an outlet and a place for their voice to be heard, but then to like print it just kind of like ups it to some degree. Like it's not just on a piece of paper that might either, you know, disintegrate, get thrown in the recycling and up the burn pile, but it's like a book. So I can imagine for some kids that it kind of, maybe, you know, they stand a little bit taller or they feel a little bit like, wow, my poem's in a book kind of a thing.
Yeah. So. And I will even have kids say, am I going to be in the book this year? And you know, cause I can't publish every poem.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a carrot, you know, you apply yourself, most likely you're going to be in the book, but you know, you just do a Mad Lib style poem. Maybe not, you know, and so it's always an interesting kind of dynamic. And it's funny because I was going into a school that's doing kind of an immersion school. So it's second grade and eighth grade all in the same classroom. And the first time I went, I thought, oh my God, how am I going to do this? This sounds terrifying. Because that's a big age range.
That's in terms a of huge energy age
level
range.
And skill level. And it was actually surprisingly amazing. And I had one of the, like a second grader raised his hand and says, are you famous? And I said, and I just laughed and said, well, in my own mind, sometimes, you know, like, what else do you say? Right.
Yeah.
And then the eighth graders was, you are too famous. And I just thought, wow, that's why these young kids are listening, because to them, I've been with them since they were kindergarten, and the kind of energy that I bring in or whatever, that there's a kind of like, that's what I mean about this kind of fame. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an influencer.
Yeah. Yeah. You and me both. Yeah, it is. It feels pretty, it's special. You know, sometimes it cracks me up because I'll be at the grocery store and I'll see one of the kids and then I'll see them lean over and go, Mom, that's Suma Goo. And I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm like, you know, it's like this. And I had a mom recently just be like, oh, you're Suma Goo? I've heard about you for years. I can't believe I haven't met you until now. So, you know, I understand. It's just like, and you don't ever really know your influence unless they tell you that. Like, you know, some of my first.
Yeah, because sometimes you're in there, you're going, did I just talk to anybody? Was anyone with
me? Yeah, did anybody register anything? Or, you know, like, because I've run into.
You know, the 8 o'clock in the morning sessions.
Yeah, run into students that are, you know, in their 30s having their own kids and going, like, you're still doing this? And I'm like, is that a bad thing? They're like, no, I just meant like, wow, that's great. You're still doing this. I'm like, okay, yes, I'm
alive already.
No doubt. That's, I kind of read it that way where I was like, wait a second. Then I, you know, they're like, no, I can't wait for my kid to come do it. I was like, well, I hope I'm still doing it when your kid's old enough. Because my thing is, as long as I love it, I'm going to keep doing it. And when it stops being a love, then I'll shift into whatever is going to, you know, take it up next.
Well, so. I was thinking that, you know, our world teachers, you know, that's one of the things too is, you know, blessed are the teachers. Imagine if our teachers made CEO wages. Yeah. You know, it's like our system is so unfortunately twisted, and the people that have the most influence, like the most, influence, control over our future society, often are so overworked, and the burnout and the expectation and just the management of day-to-day life and the exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And I do like, that's one of the things I like about being able to come in. So for one day, a teacher from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. doesn't have to do a lesson plan. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Here, I'm the lesson plan for your whole day. So it's like a day off within your day. And that, I like being able to offer a break,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important. It just broadens the scope of what can be shared. And then, like you said, it gives that person an opportunity to just kind of, it's not like they sit there idling. They can just pause and probably grade the 15 things that are on the pile and, you know, get through.
And I have some teachers that 100% do the lesson. They do it with me.
Yeah.
And they write their own poems. And I was actually thinking that this year I'd like to include teacher poems in the anthology. And I'm going to reach out to all my teachers and ask them, hey, you want to submit a poem for the countywide
that's
anthology?
That's a great idea.
Because why not?
Yeah, you know, that's so lovely. I love it. Indeed. All right, here we are, KZYX, Philo, KZYZ, Willits and Ukiah at 91.5, 90.7, 88.1, and you are listening to Women in Ecology Hour with me, Suma Goo Coulter, and Blake Moore from Point Arena, poet, artist, teacher, musician, muralist, performance artist, on and on, creativity abounds, having a great conversation about her gift of poetry, teaching in the schools, working with youth. And I'm going to give her an opportunity, if she's up for it, for sharing another one of your poems, if you're feeling it.
Sure. I'll share this one. This is one that kind of ties into the workshop that I'm going to be doing. And it's called She Paints It Red. And it starts with a quote by Noel Coward. Work is more fun than fun. I sit on my morning perch, sun arrowing my knees with patterns of tall spring, book in my hand, looking up to ponder the poet's invitation to belong to the sky as much as the earth, and notice a honeybee trying to pollinate a painted flower, actually dozens of them, one after another, somehow believing my loose brushstrokes flat and beckoning on the make-believe rug beneath my feet to be as potent as the real thing. Tufts of gold fringe against the purple floor, imitating the stripes of his body. His seasonal jaw barely begun as he worked so diligently to nudge every one of them, dislodge their voluptuous offerings, refusing to yield until he grazes the last bloom. Perhaps surprised to find this early bounty, like me, determined to do whatever it takes to eke out the sweetness of this life.
Beautiful.
That's a true story. Like I literally have a, I painted a fake rug on a, like a little sunspot, and a bee came in and just like every single one of my fake flowers, like put his butt on it, like, you know, like landed on, like trying to pollinate, and I'm all, dude, there's no, that's fake.
Precious. It just was doing what it was called to do. Like, okay, there's beauty in front of me. I'm going to rub up next to it. I love it.
Do what I do. I'm going to share my pollen.
Oh my gosh. It's so magnificent. I love the whole like work cut out, you know, it's like, yeah, the amount of effort that our bee friends do to make it so that we can enjoy such bounty, flowers, fruit, all of it. It's incredible. Oh.
Yeah, one of my neighbors keeps bees, and so it's so great. And I have all these, a lot of my cat, I have a lot of succulents, and they bloom, and they bloom in the spring, or they're blooming right now. And it's amazing. The bees are so into succulent flowers. They're just all over. I'll sit down on my porch, and, you know, I've been playing my bass a lot lately and just sit in the sun in the morning with my tea, and it's just the hum of the bee sound is just so peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Love that. Indeed. All right. Let's see. How about with this upcoming poetry workshop that's happening again on Sunday, June 22nd from 1 to 3, all ages welcome, youth 13.
But if you have younger, you, exactly. You have to be with.
Yeah. Yeah. Under 13, that's- you need to come with a grown up.
Yeah. And you can, yeah, you can be here, yes. But you're, you and your grown up come together.
Yeah. So I wonder if you can illustrate to people what they might experience if they choose to come and participate, which.
Well, I would say sure to make sure you bring a journal, mm-hmm. you know, something to write with. And if you don't have a journal, we'll have paper, of course, but it's always nice. And if you feel like it, you know, you could even bring, I mean, I don't know if you let people like do cuttings. Do people, are people allowed to cut at Jughead?
You know, I'll check in and find out before I say yes to that. Yeah. You know, yeah.
But my thought, you know, one of the ideas is we're going to let nature inform our emotional self. And so, you know, kind of like that poem I just read, you know, that poem was gifted to me by that bee. You know, the bee came and gave me that poem and that whole idea of how hard they work and how we work hard, and that sweet place comes out of the hard work sometimes. And I believe my idea is we're going to do some nature exploration, and we're going to get some ideas from nature, and we're going to write them as we go. And then we're going to come back and we're going to write a poem. Or two, if you want to write more, and I'd really like to have an opportunity to share out. And, you know, it's not a super long workshop. So, you know, a lot of times I like to incorporate art as a second half of poetry. I always call poetry the vegetables and art the dessert. So I could even offer you an art project you can go home and do in your,
beautiful.
In your poetry. Your
love
journal.
That. I yeah. love that. And I'm assuming it doesn't matter what level, if like somebody's never written a poem before to they love nature.
Even better. Or, yeah, even better. Say, yeah. I mean, because I work with all ages, I do feel like I call it the blank page syndrome. You know, people stare at a blank page and they just remember that the book Watership Down, the word tharn. You know, they just go tharn, like, I'm scared of the blank page. And so I have ways to get around that and techniques and tricks and things like that. So I'll definitely bring those along. So if anyone is feeling intimidated just by the idea of being expected to write, and you do not have to share if you do not want to, sharing is optional, not mandatory. Not everybody feels safe enough to share, and that's just fine.
Beautiful. And what's great about Jug Handle is there's acreage upon acreage of beautiful
yes.
trails and lush grass and wildflowers in bloom and deer in the meadow and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of nature to inspire us out Jug Handle, which is in the north end of Casper on Highway 1. It's at 15501 Highway 1, just so for people that are listening who are like, this could be fun. I highly recommend it. It's going to be really, I'm excited.
Yeah, and I really, you know, I think that if, you know, parents are looking for something inspiring to do with their they're just recently got out of school kids, it's a good way to do it. You know, bring your son and or daughter with you and come and do something kind of interesting in nature and inspiring together.
I love that.
You never know what you're going to come up with as well.
Yeah, it could become something that happens throughout the summer. You start there and then you find yourselves writing poems through the summer. I love it. Oh, that's so fantastic. I'm wondering, who are some of your favorite poets? It's kind of probably hard to narrow down, but like who?
Well, no, you know, the first poet that spoke to my soul was Rumi. Mm-hmm. I discovered Rumi poetry and was instantly drawn to just that deep ease. It's so simple, you know, and I really like sensual poets like Neruda and Lorca. And then, of course, fortunately, with poets in the schools, there's poets like Kathy Evans or Susan Woolridge. There's poets that other people might not know about, you know, that I just love. And there's another poet named Ronald Sauer who's been a real influence on me. Some North Beach poets. I've spent some time. I lived in North Beach during the late 80s to the early 90s. I lived on Grant Street just above the Schlock Shop. And so that's when I really kind of dressed in all black and I dyed my hair gray and I was out in the streets doing my poetry. You know, I really, you know, wrote a lot about death and pain and all that kind of stuff, because I think that's part of a poetic evolution. You have to get those emotions through to be able to have any other expression. And so I'm not afraid when the kids are writing really dark poetry. It doesn't scare me. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I did when I was your age. Of course, you're so right on the mark. But I feel like I will still always go back to Rumi. That's my poet. That is always my poet. I keep a Rumi book, as we were saying earlier, in the bathroom. I have a Rumi book in the bathroom always. And then I also have another friend of mine named Gail Newman, and I really love her poems. She was actually the poet I was reading when that the bee tried to pollinate my rug.
That's awesome. That's so great that you remember. Like, it was obviously such an impactful experience, so much so that it inspired a poem, and then you know what you were reading while it was happening. That's pretty spot on. I like that. Indeed. Let's see. When you were a little kid, did you have a sense of who or what you would get up to later on in life? Did you see glimpses of yourself as a poet or any of what you've gotten up to? Just curious.
You know, I had a couple of nature experiences when I was really young. I remember having kind of like an Alice in Wonderland kind of a experience with the calla lily, where I entered the calla lily and suddenly was inside of it. And I was probably like 4 or 5. And I remember that. So that probably was one of those early moments of, you are so much more than, you know, this suburban cul-de-sac in like a Los Angeles suburb, you know, and it kind of dove me into this direction. And then when I was 13, I had another very, very profound spiritual experience that I had no one around me to process it with. So it sent me down a pretty dark alley for a while until I figured out how to find my way out. Because I think a lot of those types of things, when they happen to us, when we're not surrounded by any of that support system, it can make you think, not that you're crazy, but you want to get back to that feeling again, but you don't know how, and you don't know what it was. And it makes all of this stuff. So I was kind of doing, you know, big, small meditations in, you know, 13, 14, 15 till like my early 20s. That was just, I would lay in the sun and suddenly I would be so big that I would have to open my eyes, because I was terrified that I how am I this big? And then I opened my eyes and I was right there, and I would close my eyes again. And then I would get so small. And this would just go on forever. And so I do think that kind of otherworldly or innerworldly or alternative experience without psychedelics. And if psychedelics didn't come into my life till later. But all those things, I think, informed me as someone who wanted to look at the world and interpret it, find ways to communicate what I see. And those are the things that make us writers. You know, we writers do love to communicate.
Yes, indeed.
As you can tell by this conversation.
Yes, indeed. Well, and if you're lucky enough to know Blake, or you might have not known that you've seen evidence of Blake, but she drives several different vehicles with these amazing painted artwork all over them, and then her poetry. And like, you could just spend a good half an hour just gazing at what she's written and painted all over her car. So it's not like it just stays limited to her journal or to the kids in the classroom. Like, it, we're talking what she just expressed is what she was living.
I wear it on my sleeve. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's really cool because I did the sports car. I called that my midlife crisis car. You know, I painted it when I turned 50 as like my, ooh, I'm 50. I got to have a convertible. And I will tell you that now more than ever, that car is getting so much just love. It's encouraged people. I feel like right now in our time, we need joy more than ever. We need ways to remind ourselves that even though it seems like it's horrible, we're still in this moment. There's still something right in front of us. You know, we live on this coast, so nature has that for us. Nature really has our back on so many levels. But it's been incredible to see. I was actually at the acupuncture the other day, and I guess this person came in to my acupuncture, told me that she said that this person came in, okay, I feel so much better now. I saw this car out front and now I know, and just like came in going, I was having a horrible day and this car just changed my whole day. Wow. What an honor, you know, to be able to have an expression that is just a daily encounter. You know, you just never know who in that moment needs a pickup. Mm-hmm. And if we can provide that through, you know, a piece of art, what a blessing.
Hear, hear. Mm-mm. Love that. That's so beautiful to like get that, you know, that reflection back from, you know, the acupuncturist that happened, because it probably happens more often than you realize, because it's not like the people know it's your car. They track you down unless you're getting in it or whatever. But that's powerful. I love that. And I agree. We need more moments of brevity and lightness and presence and joyfulness and peacefulness, because that's really the essence of who we are in the midst of this 3D realm of drama that we are surrounded by, that's infiltrates and kind of squeezes in on our life more than we probably would like it to at times. So come write some poetry and take some pause from it all, people.
Yeah, exactly.
There's my little plug.
And I think there will be a little, you know, I will most likely bring some, just a little bit of breathing. And, you know, I do sound healing work as well. So I might, I will incorporate some of that into the workshop, just because I find it helps us focus and bring ourselves into our body. And we write from within ourselves. And the more grounded and within we can be, the more we can listen to what's happening to be expressed.
Beautiful. Mm. I'm just so exciting.
I'm excited too. It's really fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I loved it. Love it, love it. Can't wait. I'm wondering, and you can speak to one or the other, who inspired you as a kid growing up? Or if you can't think of that, who inspires you today? Where does some of the inspiration in other people's presence, example, life, who inspires you?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it seems like a lot of my inspiration has come from music. You know, I'm kind of a music feeler. You know, as a dancer, I was always a dancer, but a lot of the group dance would get annoyed with me because I was more into the feeling than counting out the steps. And so I ended up doing kind of more solo dancing. And I believe that, like early on, I just loved Johnny Mathis. I was like, oh, my mom had Johnny Mathis. She had the album. She had Tijuana Brass, Johnny Mathis, and, Dave Brubeck, the Brubeck Quartet. And I can remember the album covers and putting them on. And then eventually on my own, you know, of course, like Queen really stands out. And then I got really into Sting, or to the Police, and into the Talking Heads. And those two, and I believe those Talking Heads and the Police, especially because the heavy lyrical poetry and the way they would express things, and I wouldn't always understand what they were talking about, but they always made me think a little harder about what I was thinking about. And they kind of kept pushing me into this dimension of where to go. So I think those were like some of my early influences, kind of intellectually and through music. And I know where I am now because I'm really, you know, I'm kind of calling myself a musician, but I feel a bit like a fake whenever someone, when I heard you say that, I'm like, well, I'm kind of a musician. I've always been a dancer. And, you know, I've had people who, some of my favorite musicians would say to me after a show, Blake, your dancing sounded great tonight. And I was like, oh, I just joined the band. You know, I felt so, so glad to be part of that reciprocal relationship of feeling the music, because it really is a psychic communication. Things happen and you don't even realize how they're happening, but they do. And as I'm getting more and more into my own sound and expressing myself through music and diving in, I've really been studying. There's a woman named Geraldine Glass, and she's a, do you know who she is?
I don't.
She was kind of an opera singer, and she's a crystal bowl person, but she went through deep, deep, dark places and her way of informing. And then I studied with a teacher named Vicki Dodd, and she has a book that's amazing, and I'm really enjoying her work. And then Randy Masters is one of my teachers, as is Dawn Estes. And both of them have been, I've interviewed Dawn and Randy for my show, and it's all kind of in the sound realm. So that's kind of where I'm getting really informed right now. And Veda Austin too, with water. I'm just really loving kind of the simplicity of sound is the creation of all things, and vibration and water and how they all work together. So a lot of my free time is spent thinking about that.
Yay. Love it. That's fantastic. It's refreshing to hear, because that's not what a lot of people are tuning into. So yay, keep it up. May that ripple out and ebb and ripple out into the world, and may they feel it, whether they know why all of a sudden they feel like this. Oh, I'm feeling relaxed and influenced. It must be that Blake Moore tuning into sound acoustics again.
I can probably say this, so you might have to edit it out, but I call myself a vibrator.
I love it. It's beautiful.
I vibrate.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of a fun, it's a fun turn of phrase.
Yeah.
That, like, and personal and trainer, like those are kind of my buzzwords for the work that I do.
I love it. Well described indeed. And then continuing along this sentiment, I'm wondering how you stay hopeful and find solace in all that's going on for our precious planet. Big question to ask, but we've gotten a little sense of that. But if there's anything in addition to what you've spoken to that is your balm for your soul, BALM, just to be clear, people.
Yes. Yeah, not BALM.
It's amazing. That's a hard word, because it does sound like that other one. So,
well, I definitely believe that giving back is the elixir. We have to do things for others while we're doing for ourselves, but we have to take care of ourselves first before we can give back. So you can't burn yourself out. And so I have daily practices. You know, I do a chakra balancing with myself every morning with water, barefoot in the grass. You know, I make sure that I make time in the morning and the evening to ground and to center and to be grateful. Those are absolutely, if I don't in a day, I feel it. Mm-hmm. You know, I remind, oh gosh, what's going on? And so when I do, you know, I do a lot of humming and just personal toning, just even singing the vowels, because the vowels have no words attached. And so I can just not have to be attached to words to things and or chants or whatever. But I just like the vowels. I like the way they feel in my body. And, you know, some form, as you know, again, because of my physical body, I would have said, I walk in nature every day and I do yoga every day and I garden and those things aren't happening for me the way they did before. So I've been forced to go inward, and it's so easy to love yourself when things are rocking, but we're here to love ourselves when they're not. And that has been such a lesson for me in the last few years is, wow. You know, strip me from all the things that I identified as, and can you still enjoy your life? Are you ready? You know, and I'm not saying it was easy. I didn't do it overnight, you know, but we are here to learn. It's Earth School, you know, and I signed up for this. Yeah. I am here, Earth School. I volunteer to be present for this now. Yeah. And that's
Here, here. Yay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Right?
Seriously.
You too.
I'm right there with you. Clearly, there's days definitely when I'm like, did I say yes to doing this? Did I forget that I said yes to doing this? But no, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have similar practices that keep me in alignment, and especially with working with children, because it's just, if I'm not clear and rooted and present, then I don't feel like I'm offering much of anything. If I can't listen, you know, and be there for that moment for a kid, then I don't feel like I'm doing my fullest that I could be.
And then also one thing too, in a small community, is not to take things personally. You know, if someone walks by that you know, and they just kind of give you a weird look and walk by, and you're like, ooh, energetically you feel that, or someone else say something to you and they like just push you off and you're like, oh, I thought we were friends. That expression, I have to remind myself, whatever this person is doing, it doesn't matter. Like, I cannot take it on. So I'm really learning to like be my own tree, keep my energy within me, and not feel bad if someone did something that doesn't feel right to me, and not take it personally. Mm-hmm. And I think that not taking it personally really translates with the current events, you know, whoever our leaders are, or what choices everybody's making, all that stuff is like, yeah. That is a lot of taking it personally. And so we really have to, and I know people feel really scared, and I understand there's a lot of things that are broken, and they've been broken for a long time. And now we're really starting to see how broken they are. And it's time. We know they're broken. And the one thing that I, you know, you learn this young, you get, you know, more bees with honey, you get more with love than you're going to get with hate. And the only one who feels your hate is you. And so how are you going to feel your love? And that is our practice. Find the love, you know, and that's it. The rest of it is all can just go. And, you know, that's the baby I'm keeping is love. The rest is going out with the bathwater.
Woo-hoo, I love it. That's perfect. That is perfect. So this is your chance now, if you want to let our listeners know where to find you, what to check you out, if you, any of your books, any of that kind of stuff, do your little on Blake my Moore. This is where you find me. Yeah. Your little self promo.
My website is Be More You, the letter B, MoreYou.net. And I have a musings blog. I kind of just started a Substack because, like I said, I feel inspired to get back into writing, and I'm kind of focusing on dreams. I had this really wild dream. Dan played it on a show, and I read it for the Mendo poetry reading, and it was such a profound dream. And I'm just like, I'm going to focus on dreams for a little while, because it is kind of down the rabbit hole a little bit, but we all have them and they inform us in our own way. So best way is through my website, and I have my books are there. There's a book section. There's a listen section. I also do a show on KGUA called Cartwheels on the Sky, where I interview poets. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And everything's on my site. Links to all the books, you know, the books that are still in print. And I have a really fun book called New Age Anonymous, 12 Steps for the Recovering New Ager, that is really silly and a joke book and fun. And a friend of mine, Paul Reynolds, did all the cartoon drawings. So that's available there too. Most people don't know about that book. But
fantastic.
My latest book called Dystopia Unplugged, Please Talk Back.
Right on. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a treat to learn more about you and connect with you and spend time. So remember, again, everybody that's listening, upcoming poetry workshop with Blake Moore at Jug Handle Creek Farm and Nature Center, Sunday, June 22nd from 1 to 3. Go to our website, jughandlecreekfarm.org, and or email jughandlefarm@gmail.com to reserve a space and pay for your workshop. And thank you all for your continued support of tuning into KZYX. Stay tuned for Ensemble.